Good morning, Tucson, and welcome to Tipping Point here on 1030 The Voice with me, your host, Zach Yensers. Every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10, we do in-depth news and discussion about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. And as a part of our 1030 The Voice commitment to you to be your 2020 election hub, local, state, national, our commitment to you is that this is a one-stop shop for you this year to stay up to date on everything happening in an incredibly important year, again, at all levels of government that affect us here in Southern Arizona. And so today is a full day, back-to-back interviews with two candidates running for office here from Southern Arizona. We're going to kick off with Vic Williams. He's running to replace longtime supervisor Allie Miller in District 1, one of the Republican candidates running in the primary. And then Shea Stotts, also a Republican, running for CD2 against Ann Kirkpatrick in the Southern Arizona District. Without further ado, we want to welcome Vic Williams, former member of the Arizona House of Representatives from 2009 until 2013, one-time candidate for District 1 in 2012, and making a run for that seat here in 2020. Vic, welcome to the studio.
Zach, thank you very much for having me on your show today. I also want to mention that I've been a business owner, small business owner, since 1990. Last nearly 30 years of my life, I've owned and operated businesses and have been employing people and developing real estate, developing small companies, and pumping money into the economy. And that's something I take quite a bit of pride in. And also, I think that's something that as Republicans, we should be talking more about day in and day out.
Vic, that's a great segue. Give us the 60-second history of Vic Williams in Tucson and in the Tucson region, Southern Arizona. And then if you can from there, give us, I often like to ask this to candidates with the show name being Tipping Point. What was your tipping point? What was that moment where you said, I got to be in this race, I'm the guy for the job?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go back. I started my first company in December 1990, Racksource Material Handling Systems, and bought and sold used warehousing equipment around the western United States, going to grocery distribution centers like Fred Meyer, Kroger, Safeway, buy up used pallet rack, sometimes 200-300 semi-loads of materials coming out of 500,000, 600,000, 700,000, 800,000 square foot facilities. We'd re-engineer, redevelop, remanufacture those materials, kind of truck down to the Southern California basin and design warehouse systems down in that area of the country. I had that business for 13 years, developed one of the largest used equipment dealerships in the western United States, sold that in May of 2003, and I moved out here. 1995, I started finding myself investing in small apartment buildings, then industrial properties. Last 7-8 years, I've been doing small office centers and little retail centers. I act as my own owner-builder, general contractor, so I'm a working man, negotiate contracts, deal with my crews and so forth. And that's something I've been doing, like I said, going on 29 years. My tipping point actually goes back a long time ago, back when I was 29 years old, having a government employee walk on my property, ask for a conditional use permit. I started to learn what it's like to deal with local compliance, local governments, and bureaucratic red tape, and seeing overlapping bureaucracies that impede and just make it really difficult for small businesses to survive in the United States, be it here in Tucson, Phoenix, Los Angeles, anywhere. And we're just kind of stifling out the ability for small businesses to prosper. And I think that's one of the big reasons why you see guys like Bernie Sanders and their socialism message start to take root, is that we're making it difficult for the average person to go out and develop businesses in this country. And I look back to, like, when I was a 26-year-old young man, what is his opportunities today? What's the opportunities for young people today to go out and start businesses? There's so much that stands in their way that it's we're just stifling out what has made America great. You know, business, America, you know, business of America's business. And we just need to get back to those fundamental principles.
We're with Vic Williams in studio. If you look at the Pima County Recorder's website, you look at who's filed to run in all the races in Pima County, the Board of Supervisors, Pima County Board of Supervisors District 1 race is the most contested. There are 3 Democrats running. There are 4 Republicans running. Rhonda Pena, Vic Williams, who we have in studio, yourself, Bill Beard, and Stephen Spain. What in your view, Vic, and we'll get into more policies and more details in the second segment, what is the role of the Pima County Board of Supervisors? What is the supervisor's role?
Well, I can tell you, it's important, or should I say the county supervisor sets the agenda. You take a look at the Pima County Board of Supervisors website, and the individual five members of that board, they set the agenda for the county administrator to follow. And one thing that we have not had in Southern Arizona in the 17 years I've been in the state, since I was elected first back in 2008 to the state legislature, is a Republican that stands up and articulates a pro-business message day in and day out. Now, when I served in the legislature, I was one of 90 members between the House and the Senate. So it was difficult as a member of that kind of body to have a voice, a practical and meaningful voice that can get things done. But as a county supervisor, you're one of five people, and the media is going to listen to you, and you can start to set the agenda of where we're going to go as a community. And in the years I've been in Southern Arizona, I've never seen a Republican day in and day out that will fight for the business interest of Southern Arizona, talking about who we want to be, not in next election, not from pothole to pothole, but who we want to be by mid-century. You know, we're currently at about 7 million people in this state. We're going to go to 10 million by mid-century, and where our vision is and how we're going to get there over the next 20, 30 years is something that a county supervisor will have a huge role in playing, laying out and developing the strategy and how we want to set up our infrastructure, how we want to bring in industry to this Southern Arizona. So that, in my opinion, is the role of the county supervisors, and you see all five that are in office or that will be in office, and they all have various messages, and they all bring their own dialogue. But since I've been here, basically the dialogue is dominated by the Democrats, but we need a pro business conservative Republican voice articulating what we need for business in Southern Arizona.
Certainly, Allie Miller and many of the other Republicans would say that they have been, and they will continue to really be conscious of taxation, business opportunity, really be a hawk on some of the fiscal conservatism. Would you say that one thing that makes you unique or that you would like to communicate is what maybe sets you apart is that desire to be that vision setter as well? Is that what I'm hearing? Is that fair?
Yeah, let me expand upon what I have been saying. You know, one, when I served in the legislature, I have a conservative voting record going from SB 1070, our state-based illegal immigration law, cutting budgets in the state back during the recession by $2.7 billion, helping reform Rio Nuevo by taking the control locally, give it to the state, making sure that good business people are involved, being endorsed by the NRA, have a pro-life voting record. Those are things I take a lot of pride in. But what I haven't seen is people who come to the legislature, people who come to the Pima County Board of Supervisors, mayoral races, city council races, that have an extensive business background. Someone who's been practicing business, being employing people, being involved in business for the last, I don't know if it's 10 years, 20 years, 30 years of their life. And I think we need to get back to that. And what, going back to your question of tipping points, watching Donald Trump run in 2016 and continuously talking about being a businessman running for office was inspiring to me, helped get me re-motivated 4 years ago watching his campaign, and knowing that we're talking about bringing in manufacturing, talking about business ethics, talking about developing our business communities.
We are just part one of two. We're halfway through our conversation this morning with Vic Williams, two-time representative at the state level. And when we come back, we're going to talk about kind of the state of District 1 right now. What's different this time from maybe when you considered running before? What is the Vic Williams agenda for Pima County? What does that look like? And as you're knocking on doors, what are you hearing are priorities from District 1 voters that they want a supervisor to address? We'll get nitty-gritty when we come back from our first break. We'll go visit some sponsors and come on right back. Don't go away, Tucson. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
When did you lose control? Was it when you became a number and not a person? Or was it when you accepted that this is just the way things are? Truth is, you didn't lose control. You gave it up. Because you have a choice. You can make them too big to fail and fail to belong to something bigger. Or you can put your money where your values lie and make your community too strong to fail. The choice is yours. Or are you going to give that up too? Vantage West. Banks own you. You own us.
Federally insured by NCUA.
It's that time of year. Everyone hates it. It's tax time. But there's no reason to stress. Shanae and the team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes can take care of it all for you and make it simple and easy. For Tipping Point listeners only, Shanae is offering a one-time special offer of 50% off your personal or business tax prep. Call 520-838-0856 and let her know Zach sent you to get started. So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation.
Tucson, welcome back in. This is Tipping Point with your host, Zach Yenser, here on 1030 The Voice. We are opening up the phone lines for our conversation now with Vic Williams, who has served in the Arizona House of Representatives from 2009 to 2013, active in Southern Arizona for many, many, many years. Now a candidate for Pima County Board of Supervisors to fill the seat Ali Miller is stepping away from this year. 790-2040 is your live line opportunity to ask a question. We'll fit in as much as we can here. But while we're waiting to talk to the community, Vic Williams, you ran in 2012 for the county supervisor. What's different in the district this time as you're knocking on doors? Before we get to your agenda, but as you're knocking on doors, what are you hearing from the voters? What did D1 voters want a supervisor to tackle or to cast vision for in District 1?
Well, you know, we're talking about vision and so forth. I'd like to invite the listeners to go to my website, voteforvic.com. That's the number 4, voteforvic.com. The message is pretty much a conservative message from what I'm hearing from the voters. I'm hearing about job development. I'm hearing about illegal immigration in Southern Arizona. And those are pretty mainstay type conservative Republican messages that I'm hearing. I've walked about 1,000 homes so far. I've had about 400 individual conversations around the district, ensuring that we bring in positive growth, growth that's sustainable, growth that's consistent with the various areas. If you get up into the Sun City, Rancho Vistoso area, you know, the type of development that we have in there is consistent with our environment, not stressing out wildlife, making sure that we have plenty of open space where it's different as you talk to the people down around the Foothills Mall, making sure that the Foothills Mall is developed in a way that's consistent and also gives us growth and maybe also starts to have some cultural type components and entertainment style components. I'm hearing the people speaking about having medical services up in the Northwest so they don't have to travel to downtown Tucson, midtown Tucson, so they can have their ongoing health care, development of more entertainment up in the Northwest, getting away from rolling up the sidewalks at 7 o'clock at night so people don't have to go down to downtown Tucson. And I think that the population tipping point in the Northwest and also the financial tipping point in the Northwest is where I think, given a vision, given some time, that we can start to have some of those developments. Again, going back to the Foothills Mall, its redevelopment might be something that will start to compete with downtown as to cultural and as to a business hub and bringing in development there. And I think those are things that we need to look at. Again, these are visions not of a year or two out, but who we're going to be 10, 20 years from now. I think that the corridor on Ina Road going out to I-10 around La Cholla and so forth is a place that we can take a look at development in the district that, again, will facilitate many different aspects of what people are looking for. And then again, as you go up Oracle Road, it has to be more than just building large luxury apartment communities. I mean, I'm hearing the disdain of that from the voters in that district and from those precincts up there, and they want to see a balance of development. And again, not just empty retail spaces, not just large apartment development, but a balance of development in that area. Again, bringing in cultural events, entertainment type product to the region.
No, I think it's a good point. My observations, I'm not a district one resident, but it does seem like a lot of the district was built out too fast. It was built pre-demand, while at the same time, both the demand and the margins for development seem to cater towards luxury development, which I think is still out of range for the majority of the population. So it's a weird mix in District 1. You work in development and real estate. What is your agenda for Pima County look like? In the first segment you mentioned, what I heard is that your attempt is to bring the fiscal conservatism that you have appreciated about your competitors in this primary and Allie Miller, the incumbent in District 1, but also what you've seen is missing is a vision for, okay, not just making sure the nuts and bolts are tied down and the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, but what is the vision for the region? What does a Vic Williams agenda for Pima County look like?
Well, countywide, it has to be something where we're developing business and developing jobs throughout Southern Arizona. We're number six, number seven in poverty when it comes to large metropolitan cities in the United States. So having that dialogue, talking about pro-business, talking about job development, is something that's going to sell down in Richard Elias's district more than just welfare, more than just social services. We need to be talking about bringing in jobs. And that's something that a conservative business, fiscal conservative Republican can start to articulate throughout Pima County, because that's something that we all are going to win on. And look, from my conservative principles, might be, you know, from, you know, the NRA to pro-life, those type of issues, look, I'm not going to convince or change people's minds on the Democratic Party on that. But what we can do is work together on how we're going to bring in more Amazons, how we're going to bring in more Caterpillars, how we're going to bring in more industry to Southern Arizona. And there might be some reluctance. I know that some of the Democrat constituency or some of the Democrat people in office, they're very politicized in what kind of industries they want to bring here, but their constituents want jobs. And when you can start to bring those types of dialogues in, and we start to court companies to come in, monkey see, monkey do, their constituents are going to want good jobs. And that's how we can move that agenda forward, not trying to push it through Democrats, but push it through their constituents. And when their constituents are asking for it as well, they will come on board in bringing in a pro-business development to Southern Arizona.
This is probably the last big question I want to ask you in maybe 2 minutes or less, but you brought it up quite a bit. Pima County has gotten a lot of heat for doing some initial investment and incentives, for example, with Worldview, right? An innovative company, tech company. The region is a space tech hub. I mean, a lot of the pieces would seem to fit. You are a business owner, former state legislature that has worked on bringing jobs to Pima County. When you talk about being a supervisor in Pima County, give me your philosophy on how the supervisors create new jobs. Do you agree with the Worldview investment, for example?
No. And it's the business of the county supervisors' governance or the state legislature's governance to legislate, to make an environment, but not to manage and not to invest necessarily. I mean, there are times that you can look towards that, but we want to create a playing field that is where all companies can come and be prosperous and succeed, and not to pick winners and losers, not to choose who is going to be able to succeed in Southern Arizona, but create an equal playing field that is not part of Republican capitalist cronyism, where a favored few have the opportunity to succeed, but we're here to develop a platform where industry itself can come in and be successful, small and large, not just a chosen few, I guess is more of how I look at that. And I think that's part of the problem. I think that's some of the ire that you see in the Republican base, is that you now have establishment Republicans that are protecting themselves from internal competition. And again, it comes down to small business. When small business can't flourish, when small business can't create, then that becomes the problem. That's when you have an economy that stifles. That's when you have an economy that can't move forward. And so to have individual or to choose individual companies, I think, is not the right course. We want to create a fair and level playing field for industry to succeed in Southern Arizona.
We're talking with Vic Williams and have come to the end of our conversation. Former member of the Arizona House of Representatives from 2009 till 2013. Been a longtime resident, business owner, advocate for our region and our metro area. Now running for Pima County Board of Supervisors in District 1 to fill the seat Allie Miller is stepping away from here in 2020. Vic, one more time, if there's events coming up where people can meet you, a website to go look at your platform even in more depth. This is not our last conversation, hopefully, on the air, but the end for today. Where can people go and find more information about you?
Go to my website, voteforvic.com, and that's the number 4. We have a couple events planned. I'm going to be up at the Dove Mountain Republican Club on the 27th or 28th of the 29th of this month. We have a couple of events out there, and I am sorry I don't have them in front of me at this time. But again, my website's a great place, good information on there, voteforvic.com. You can call me on my phone number. My cell phone is 390-9946. I'm happy to talk to you. All my campaign literature has my cell phone on it, and it's great when I get that feedback from the community when they call me, when we talk, when we go over issues at 390-9946 or my website, voteforvic.com.
Vic, thank you for your time, and thank you for the conversation about the future of our region.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate all that you do for our community.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Tucson, we're going to go and visit some of our great sponsors here, some brief news items when we come back. Shea Stouts, Republican running in Congressional District 2 against Ann Kirkpatrick, will be in studio with us right after the break. You don't want to miss it, so come on right back. This has been Tipping Point, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I'm Zach Yenser, host of Tipping Point. We know that one out of every four persons in Tucson is living in poverty. I'm pleased to be partnering with Impact of Southern Arizona, a nonprofit that works to stabilize families and guide and support them on pathways out of poverty. Celebrating their 20th anniversary, they've invested $22 million into the community and are just getting started. Head to impactsoaz.org for more information and to explore how you can get a credit on your state taxes this year by supporting them. As always, talk to your tax professional. Today's hot real estate market comes with its own challenges. If you're trying to buy a home, you have to move fast or it's gone fast. Selling your home, that's just always a hassle. But it doesn't have to be your experience. My friend Jason Carlton is a real estate consultant servicing the Tucson metro area. His passion is to help families sell and buy homes with expertise, genuine care, and responsiveness. Feel free to call or text him with any real estate needs to get started. 520-310-6761. Tucson, Tipping Point is proud to have Why I Love Where I Live as a sponsor of our program. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Visit their shop filled with locally designed goods and resources to encourage an appreciation and curiosity about what makes Tucson special and unique. Located at the MSA Annex just west of I-10 and Congress, find more details and shop hours at their website, whyiloveWhereILive.com. Tucson, welcome back. You are listening to Tipping Point with me, your host, Zach Yenser, here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Our commitment to you on this show and this station is to be your hub for election 2020 coverage. And for us here on 1030 The Voice and for us on Tipping Point, that means local, state, national, all of it. And today's show is back-to-back candidate interviews with candidates running for office in Southern Arizona. We just wrapped up with Vic Williams, a two-time Arizona State House representative, been working on business efforts for the last few years, ran for Pima County Board of Supervisors in 2012 against the incumbent, Allie Miller. And as she steps down in 2020, he's running for that seat again as one of four Republicans in the primary. It's the most contested county race here in Southern Arizona of 2020. If you missed that interview, you can listen back to the whole thing by going to kvoi.com/podcasts or go to iTunes or Google Play Music. But we're going to pivot now to Arizona's 2nd Congressional District, where Shay Stouts is in studio with us as a Republican candidate in the primary, seeking to eventually go up against Democrat incumbent Ann Kirkpatrick. Shay Stouts, welcome to the studio. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, Zach. It's my pleasure.
So I like to, this is my candidate first question. Convenient, because the show's name is called Tipping Point. What was your tipping point as a candidate looking at this race to say, I'm in, I got to be in, and I'm the guy, not just for the Republican side, but for the entire district? And then when you answer that question, if you can go into your background and why you want to run for this office.
Oh, sure. And it's a great question. I love the title of your show, by the way. So, Zach, just a little bit about me. I'm from Tucson, Arizona. I grew up here. In fact, I'm living in the house that I grew up in here over by Palo Verde near Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. I went to Palo Verde. I also subsequently went to the U of A, but earned an internship with U.S. Congressman Mo Udall after my first year there. And for those of you that know Mo, he was a dedicated public servant, but very liberal and progressive, and I was by far the most conservative member on his staff. And I actually thought it was my job to try to convince them to come over to our conservative ways. I've known I was a Republican and conservative since I was about age 12, something that my basketball coach father and my U of A administrator mother thought was pretty odd. But after spending some time working for Mo and discovering I was in fact a true conservative, I jumped over to the other side of Capitol Hill and did national security issues for U.S. Senator Robert Kasten, who was a good U of A alum and in fact is a foreign policy advisor to President Trump. So that's how I cut my teeth in Washington very early on. I got a master's degree in national security from Georgetown University, but then, which I put to good use, by the way, on Capitol Hill advocating for our nation's defense industry, including for companies like Raytheon. But then after about 9 years of doing that, my hometown called me back home, and I joined my family's tradition of working for the University of Arizona as their lead on all of the U of A's federal agenda issues, for everything from the $50 million in student aid that the university gets to the $650 million now that the university competitively receives in federal research funding. And so my time at the U of A is very proud of leading the fight to create the U of A Defense Research Institute as well as the U of A Vet Center. And you may know, Zach, we've got 2,000 veterans at the University of Arizona, part of that 100,000 we have here in Southern Arizona. Let me tell you, there are some other things about that I can elaborate on, but my tipping point here was during my 10 years working for the university in the function of defending their federal agenda, I got to know every member of Congress in our delegation during that whole time. So I've worked with them all, our senators and our members of Congress, and I've also had the pleasure of watching each of the races for Congressional District 2 during the last 20 years. And so my tipping point was when Ann Kirkpatrick decided to move down from the Flagstaff District 1, CD1 area, to our hometown here to run for Congress. I thought, even as someone fairly accustomed to Washington politics, I thought that was a fairly brazen step. And through my efforts in engaging her for the university and for our military installations down here, I knew that Ann didn't know our district. And we need someone that understands Southern Arizona now even more than we ever have.
We're with Shay Stouts, candidate for Arizona's 2nd Congressional District. Before we go to our first break, I want to segue where you went, and that is your tipping point was that someone needed to be in office that understood Southern Arizona.
Right.
So give us your State of the Union on Southern Arizona. What do we need right now? What are the issues that we need representation on? What is CD2 today?
Outstanding question. We don't have time to go into all of them, but I'll certainly give
Please,
you the highlights.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and this also goes to that question of tipping point. Why run? Why me? So I think what you'll find here, Zach, is that I'm by far the most qualified candidate in the race. I'm the best organized, and I've got the strongest message. And that key message for us here is that the primary job after constituent service of a member of Congress writ large across the country, but especially here in Southern Arizona, is to protect our jobs. And if you look at our district in particular, you look at where the clusters of jobs are, you very clearly get a sense about who's the right candidate to represent us in Washington, D.C. So, number one employer in Southern Arizona, the University of Arizona, with more than 17,000 jobs and almost a $5 billion annual economic impact on our region, right? Number two employer, Raytheon Missile Systems, 13,000 jobs and nearly a $4 billion annual economic impact. Then you've got Davis-Monthan Air Force Base with anywhere between, depending on how you count it, 7,500 and 11,000 jobs. And then you've got Fort Huachuca down in Sierra Vista with 6,500 jobs. Now, three of those four institutions, you know, total, you've got 50,000 jobs there, right? Three of those four institutions are defense-related. So a member of Congress can have a direct impact in supporting and growing those jobs. Then but the largest concentration of jobs is at the University of Arizona. So your ideal congressional candidate, your ideal member of Congress in Washington, is someone who has strong expertise in both education and national security, and that's me.
In our second segment, as we close out the hour, we're going to get into some of your top issues. Your website, Shea Stouts, STAUTZ for Congress.com, Shea, SHAY, has a number of issues that you want to speak into as a candidate. We'll only have time to talk about a few of them. I also want to talk about the technicalities of this race. Nationally, one of the most contested districts in the last few cycles, an almost 50-50 district. So I want to talk about the technicalities of that. Let's fit in a caller, if we can, here before we go to our first break. Charles called 790-2040 to talk to you, Shea. Charles, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Mr. Stouts. I love the way you come across, your confidence and also your knowledge base. To that knowledge base, if elected, you'll have to, of course, swear an oath, which we know from the Constitution. But in Arizona's Constitution, there is a stated purpose of government. If you've had time to review it, can you tell us what the stated purpose of government is according to Arizona's Constitution?
So I'm sorry, was it Charles?
Charles,
hey,
yes.
Great
Charles.
Question, Charles. I didn't hear the entire question. We'll ask it just really quickly one more time.
What is the stated purpose of government, why it exists, according to Arizona's Constitution?
So it's been a while since I've reviewed the specific language, but if memory serves, it is to support the health and well-being of the community here in Arizona.
I would encourage you to look up Article 2, Section 2 of Arizona's Constitution, and thank you for running. It's a very hard thing, and it's a courageous thing you do. Have a blessed day.
Thanks, Charles.
Charles, thank you for the call. 790-2040 is our live line today. Let's go to a quick break just a minute early so we can come back. We'll talk about some of the major issues and also how do you run in CD2, we'll talk a little bit and maybe get the Shea Stouts differentiation for maybe some of your fellow Republicans on the primary side as Arizona voters are looking at who do I pick to go up against Ann Kirkpatrick in Arizona's 2nd Congressional District. We'll be back, get to your phone calls and more after our third break here. Let's go visit some great sponsors. We'll be right back.
It's that time of year. Everyone hates it. It's tax time, but there's no reason to stress. Shanae and the team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes can take care of it all for you and make it simple and easy. For Tipping Point listeners only, Shanae is offering a one-time special offer of 50% off your personal or business tax prep. Call 520-838-0856 and let her know Zach sent you to get started. So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation.
Tucson, Tipping Point is proud to have Why I Love Where I Live as a sponsor of our program. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Visit their shop filled with locally designed goods and resources to encourage an appreciation and curiosity about what makes Tucson special and unique. Located at the MSA Annex just west of I-10 and Congress, find more details and shop hours at their website, whyiloveWhereILive.com.
When did you lose control? Was it when you became a number and not a person? Or was it when you accepted that this is just the way things are? Truth is, you didn't lose control. You gave it up. Because you have a choice. You can make them too big to fail and fail to belong to something bigger. Or you can put your money where your values lie and make your community too strong to fail. The choice is yours. Or are you going to give that up too? Vantage West. Banks own you. You own us.
Federally insured by NCUA.
Tucson, welcome back to Tipping Point. We are halfway through our sit-down today with Shay Stouts. He's a candidate running for Arizona's 2nd Congressional District, CD2, running in the Republican primary as a Republican, to go up against Ann Kirkpatrick, the incumbent in CD2. Before we get too far, want to shout out our segment sponsor for today. It is the Talent Store, founded by my friend Devin Underwood. She's helped many local companies, like so many of those listening to this program today who are running great local companies. She's helped so many companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and talent strategy consulting. As larger companies come into our market, this is important, and the talent pool continues to tighten, organizations that approach talent attraction, acquisition, and retention as a holistic talent strategy will stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it and you'll lose out. It's just the way it is. For more information, visit yourtalentstore.com and schedule a free consultation. The Talent Store is where thought leadership, opportunity, and talent connect to create growth. Shay Stouts, let's get back to our conversation. Thank you for being here. We talked a little bit about, in your mind, what the ideal CD2 representative for Southern Arizona, for this piece of Southern Arizona, needs to be and needs to be focused on. Talk to us about the makeup of this district. Every cycle for the last, 2 to 4 cycles, it's been one of the most competitive votes, finances, everything in the entire country, extremely notable. Tell us about the makeup of this district and why it requires a very specific candidate to win and why you feel you're the guy.
So great point, Zach. And it's not just the last 2, 3, or 4 cycles. So back as far as after his 10 terms in office, Jim Colby fought each election cycle to keep his seat, and in many ways I think that's very healthy. It encourages a very healthy debate each cycle here, and it is one of just a handful of truly competitive seats historically across the country, that is. So our district is roughly made up of 30% Republicans, 30% Democrats, and 30% Independents, and with the balance there shifting amongst them depending on what might be happening at the national level. So that means a very specific candidate is the one that can win for either party. The winning candidate needs to be able to appeal to those independents and understand what messages can bring them over to their side. For me, my experience with working in higher education is very appealing and is getting a good deal of traction amongst those independents here in CD2. We rely on the University of Arizona for not just the education of our children, but also for job creation, and not just in this county, in Sierra Vista, U of A South, or the new College of Applied Science and Technology down there, is a source of jobs and innovation, as well as our two community colleges, Pima Community College and Cochise College. And both of the leaders of those organizations are doing great jobs, and we need a member of Congress who understands the education space, particularly the higher ed space, because there is more of a federal component to that space than there is in the K through 12 sector. And so the right candidate is one that can both appeal to those independents and understand issues like education that are important to them.
You know, we were talking about the tightness of this race in the past. Of course, one of the most notable examples is when now Senator Martha McSally beat Ron Barber by the whopping total of 167 votes.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
An incredibly large district. So, I mean, this district is, you could have picked an easier one, I think, but no, I'm just kidding. One of the issues that is very pertinent to CD2, especially, and many of our listeners would like to know what your thoughts are on this, is border security.
That's right.
CD2 running to the border. What is your view on border security? And as a representative, as aspiring for CD2, what's the role of our representative on that issue?
So, Zach, great question, and you're right. This is one of our most critical issues. I mentioned my master's in national security, and by the way, I've spent a lot of time working in Washington with folks like our now Senator Martha McSally and Senator John McCain before her. On the issues of supporting our military installations. I'm on the board for the Southern Arizona Defense Alliance, and I, in fact, have led multiple, in fact, seven senior-level Southern Arizona delegation visits back to D.C. to talk to Congress about Davis-Monthan Air Force Base and Fort Huachuca, as well as the Pentagon, for that matter. So I say that as a preface to discussing border security, because I view border security as a function of national security. Not to get too wonky on you here, but a political scientist will tell you that the definition of a sovereign state is one that controls its borders, and we don't do that right now. So, in my opinion, we must control the border, and that means building a wall where the Border Patrol thinks building a wall makes sense. And so I support the president's initiative to build that wall. I truly wish that the democratically controlled House would give the president the resources he needs to build that wall out of the Department of Homeland Security funding that is approved on an annual basis through the appropriations process. He didn't get it through that process last year, and so he had to reprogram funds out of DOD to begin that process, and he started to do that this year too, and that's going to hurt us here in Southern Arizona. The AETC Center at the 162nd here at Tucson International, one of the most innovative test and evaluation centers that the National Guard has in the country. It's a national model. That's going to take some funds cut from it in order to be reprogrammed to building this wall. That's not President Trump's fault. That falls on the feet of the democratically controlled House in this case. However, I do think that a member of Congress in this case could be working with the Department of Defense more vigorously to, as they decide where these cuts are going to be coming from, to ensure that it doesn't fall quite so hard on us here in Southern Arizona.
We're with Shay Stouts, a Republican candidate for Arizona's 2nd Congressional District. My last question, just knowing who you talk to, who your voter base is, looking for independents, Republicans, maybe some Democrats, knowing who listens to our program, what CD2 covers, many will be interested in your view on health care and Social Security and Medicare. So we've got a couple minutes left. Just your high-level thoughts on that. You state that we must reform health care so that it protects those with pre-existing conditions.
That's right.
And that's a little bit different from the president's policy, which the president's administration, for all that it's doing, is not necessarily protecting as fully as it could those with pre-existing conditions. Do you agree with that or not? And what's your view, and how will you protect health care and Social Security and Medicare?
So let's deal with the last two first. So Social Security and Medicare, in terms of entitlement, some of my Republican opponents will tell you that we've got to look at cutting the benefits that are coming out of those programs. I disagree with that. We will protect Social Security and Medicare for our oldest citizens who have paid into those programs and deserve and rely on those benefits. So I want to be very clear about my position on that, Zach. When it comes to health care, there's a lot that we can do. Frankly, I'm a little bit surprised to hear that you don't think President Trump supports protecting pre-existing conditions, because it was my understanding that he did. He has said that a number of different times. But that is my position, too. We must protect pre-existing conditions. I myself didn't have health care for a six-month period up until just the start of this year, I had a tremendous amount of trouble getting health insurance because of something that was considered a pre-existing condition from more than 20 years ago. So I feel strongly about this issue. But there's much that we need to do in the healthcare space. So waste, fraud, and abuse is rampant in our healthcare system. We all know that, and we have to reinvigorate our efforts to seek it out and root it out, in fact. Also, there are other things that we can do, though. So long-distance healthcare or telehealth, the University of Arizona is a leader in that. And, in fact, Arizona is a leader amongst the states in that. We need to do more of that. And for a state with a huge amount of rural areas here in Arizona, including NCD2, that's something we need to really fully develop out.
Shea Stouts, we would end up cutting you off if we asked another question, so we'll stop there. But your website, again, speaks to probably 10-plus major issues. We've covered a few of them today. Shea, S-H-A-W, Stouts, S-T-A-U-T-Z for Congress.com.
That's Shea, S-H-A-Y.
What did I say?
You said W.
Oh, thank you. It's not Shaw. It is
no,
Shea.
No, it's Shea. Right.
I get in the zone, and who knows what comes out of my mouth. Hopefully it's good. Shea Stouts for Congress.com is your website. Any events, any opportunity to contact you? Let's leave our listeners with contacts.
Yeah, so I can be reached through my website, and there are some events. I'm interested in talking to anybody at any time. And for your Republican precinct committeemen out there, I will be inviting each of you by mail to an event, an open house, an opportunity to engage with me directly, and also a great opportunity for me to get to know you.
Shea, thank you for your time today and for stepping up and running for office, and best of luck to you on the trail.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me, Zach.
Tucson, that does it today. Our back-to-back candidate interviews, one Pima County Board of Supervisors, one Arizona 2nd Congressional District, and we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. In the meantime, Hugh Hewitt coming up at 10, our local program, Bill Buckmaster, coming up at noon. Lots of great programming here to stay up to date on all the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future and the future of our region. Take care, Tucson. This has been Tipping Point with me, your host, Zach Yenser, on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.